I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast.
Yep. We are going to talk about You're Next.
You are next.
You apostrophe R-E.
Yeah.
We had to clarify that in last week's episode.
You had to clarify that.
I had to clarify that.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have gone either way.
True.
But first, we've got some news, as we usually do.
We do. I'll go first.
That's a good idea, because we didn't plan that ahead of time. So
yeah, I real quick in my head realized I needed to go first. So
sure.
All right, after nearly three decades, Warner Brothers has officially announced that Practical Magic 2 is happening.
Wow.
Yes, we've already got a release date as well. September 18th, 2026. So
not even
a little over a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman will be reprising their iconic roles. So that's exciting. And Akiva Goldsman, who co-wrote the original, is also coming back to write the sequel. So it seems like they're trying to get a lot of the original folks on board to keep the vibe the same. And producer Denise DeNovi has also said that the sequel aims to honor the themes of the original that resonated so much with women. So that's exciting. But yeah, very fun news for anybody who's a fan of the original.
That is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. Also bring back Nicole Kidman's fantastic wig that she wears in that movie.
Yeah, see, I've never seen the movie. I just know the vibes of the movie.
Okay. You can Google her hair from that movie. It'll pop up. It's okay. Beautiful. Stunning.
Okay. When I was just a young gay,
mm-hmm.
I asked an elder gay if I could choose my gay icon. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, I choose Sandra Bullock.
Oh.
Your choice in hindsight.
Yes.
But
like an icon who's gay or like your, because she's not.
She's not.
She's not.
But, like, is Lady Gaga?
Yes, she's bisexual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
See, that would have made more sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just trying to think of a very fierce ally that is straight. And Lady Gaga came to mind.
Nope, she's part of the community, but close, you know?
Close, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was like 18, so I just remember that. And then in hindsight, realizing that was a stupid choice. not to say that Sandra Bullock isn't great.
Right.
She's great.
Yeah.
Gay icon?
Not
probably
really.
Not. Oh, brother. Okay, we don't get a lot of unrated films. And when we do, they generally don't do very well at the box office. Last year's Terrifier 3 became the highest grossing unrated film of all time. It made about $50 million at the box office. Now we have a potential contender for that highest grossing spot because The Toxic Avenger 2025 comes out in August and it officially has been rated unrated. It's not rated. They're not rating it. They're not giving it a rating.
Yeah.
It's unrated. Yes. Anyway, I haven't seen the others, but they're supposedly shock gore like Terrifier.
Mm-hmm.
That's the vibe, I guess. And this one reportedly has excessive gore, nudity, and piss play as the reasons why they're leaving it unrated. Anyway.
Okay.
It stars Peter Dinklage, which I have thoughts about, but I'll keep those to myself. And it comes out in August. So.
Okay. I'm not sure if that movie is going to be for me.
Who's to say?
Me.
Have you seen the other ones?
I haven't, no.
See, I thought this was like a Marvel Cinematic Universe entry.
No.
So when I learned it was unrated, I was shocked.
Yeah, no, it's like a horror comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll find out.
Maybe. I mean, I bet I'd like it better than Terrifier.
I can't imagine you liking anything worse, so.
Yeah. What's next from you?
Next from me is we have a new trailer that's out. So the upcoming movie starring Dave Franco and Alison Brie, married couple IRL, playing a couple in I, not L. It's named Together, the film.
Okay.
And we have the first trailer. We're going to link it in the description so you can watch it. I haven't yet, but it's on my to-do list. Calm down. It's releasing in theaters this July. And the summary is... Years into their relationship, Tim and Millie find themselves at a crossroads as they move to the country, abandoning all that is familiar in their lives except each other. With tensions already flaring, a nightmarish encounter with a mysterious, unnatural force threatens to corrupt their lives, their love, and their flesh. The poster is like two eyes, like bulging, and they're so close to touching, and it kind of makes me itchy. So,
ew.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I didn't either. But like, you know... Yeah, no, it's not for him, based on the poster alone. But
yeah.
I'm excited to watch the trailer because, I mean, it's like the Franco brother who doesn't suck yet. So, and Alison Brie. TBD. Yeah, TBD. We don't know.
Yeah, I like Alison Brie. She's great.
Yeah, I loved Community, so.
Okay, well, last one for me. This is sort of... a spoiler. Well, actually, I don't think we would know if it was a spoiler until after we've seen the movie. So it's a spoiler for purists, but also sort of not. It's to do with Final Destination Bloodlines. So if you don't want to hear it, skip forward a minute or two. That's crazy.
Just kidding.
She took her headphones off. I think you can hear it. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. And if it is, I'm sorry. While filming Final Destination's Bloodlines, 71-year-old stunt performer Yvette Ferguson, who also worked on Midnight Mass, came out of retirement to work on the Final Destination movie, and she set the world record for the oldest person to ever be set on fire.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's the oldest person ever on fire on camera, according to co-directors Zach Lipovsky and Adam Stein.
That's fun.
Isn't that cute?
Come out of retirement just to set a record. I like it.
Yeah, super fun. And what a cool record.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that for her.
Big fan.
Yeah, I don't know who she plays in the movie. Maybe she doesn't play anybody. Maybe she's just like an extra that is lit on fire. I don't know.
Maybe she's a stand-in for someone who gets lit on fire.
Well, yeah, she would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just maybe, like, the character that she's portraying isn't, like, huge. It's just, like, a side character. So it's not, like, spoiling anything.
Just in the background, an old woman's on fire.
I mean, weirder things have happened in Final Destination movies, I'm sure.
That's actually, yeah, that's true. All right. Should we get into it?
I think so.
Okay. Today, we are talking about your next 2011 slasher film. A little summary. The Davisons, an upper-class family, are extremely wealthy, but also estranged. In an attempt to mend their broken ties, the parents decide to celebrate their wedding anniversary by inviting their four children and their significant others to their weekend estate. The celebration gets off to a rocky start, but when crossbow-wielding assailants and animal masks suddenly attack, the Davisons must pull together or die. Spoiler alert, they do not pull together.
Not even close.
Not even a little bit. It is directed by Adam Wingard. It's written by Simon Barrett, and it stars Sharni Vinson, Nicholas Tucci, no relation, I know people are going to ask,
yeah.
Wendy Glenn, and AJ Bowen. It had a budget of about $1 million and made $26.9 million at the box office, and that was with like a pretty limited release as well. It currently has a 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb, a 60% audience score, and an 80% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
Yeah.
You said 2011. Maybe this is a good place to start with our fun facts.
Okay. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's a terrible place to start.
And apparently. Oh, okay. Here we go. Okay. It premiered as part of Midnight Madness at the 2011 Toronto Film Festival, mm-hmm. and it was picked up by Lionsgate there.
Yes.
But it was not given a wide release until August 2013. So some outlets reported it as being released in 2011. Some outlets reported it as being released in 2013. Fair. The directors did give a couple interviews about, like, there was some concern with it not being released until 2.5 years after they had filmed, mm-hmm. Because they were worried it wasn't going to feel like fresh and new anymore. But yeah, it did have sort of like a weird, atypical release calendar.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because of that, that's why it's more of a cult following for people who like this movie. I feel like at this point it does have, like, in the horror community, it does have a pretty big following. But you could ask people who aren't into horror movies and they probably haven't heard of it, you know?
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah.
It didn't have a lot of, like, you can tell the movies that are really big or people are really interested in them by how many facts they have about them, generally. And this one didn't have a whole lot of, like, there weren't a lot of interviews. They didn't do a lot of interviews. There wasn't a lot of, like, context posted anywhere. It was just, whereas, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre has 900 pages of facts, a gazillion articles.
Yeah, for sure. And I think movies that are a bit more culturally significant, like,
of course,
are definitely going to have so much more, like, historical movies like Psycho or Texas Chainsaw or Halloween. Like, there's so much about those. Whereas these days, a movie takes 2 years to get in theaters. It kind of wanes, right? So
yeah,
a lot of those interviews happen 2 years later and there's not that much to talk about at that point. A lot of those people are already on new projects, so.
Well, we've still got some fun facts.
Absolutely. Did you, probably not recognize, but did you see who played Tariq, the sister's boyfriend?
Yeah, Ty West.
It is Ty West, a la X fame.
Pearl fame.
Well, X the franchise, yeah.
Yeah. Just, well, you know, just to be clear.
Yeah.
There's more than one X movie.
Yes, fair. Yes. X, Pearl, Maxine, most recently.
I mean, there's more than one movie called X.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Actually, I might be thinking of Triple X.
I think you are.
Well, either way. He also directed Pearl.
Yes, you did. Thank you for clarifying. He also directed a segment in VHS, which we talked about a long time ago. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
But so did Adam Wingard and Simon Barrett. They both were on VHS. Yes. So together they did The Frame Story. If you remember that, probably not. Nope. But it's like the robbers who break into the house. They're like there to steal stuff, but then they find the tapes and that's what kind of starts the whole movie.
Oh, and they say bad words. They slurs. Do.
Yeah. They're terrible people. I do remember people. That. Yeah. And then Joe Swanberg, who actually is in this movie, he didn't write or direct, but he acts in it. He plays Drake, I think like the oldest brother. I want to say he's been with the arrow in his back the whole time, right?
Yes, I think so.
Yes. So he and Simon Barrett did the segment, The Sick Thing That Happened to Emily When She Was Younger, which I don't know if you remember that one, but it's about the guy's like talking to his girlfriend online and she's like seeing ghosts, she thinks, but then you find out it's aliens and the boyfriend's in on it.
Nope.
Okay.
That sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah. Well, it's in VHS if you ever want to give it a rewatch.
I should watch that one again. Sounds great. Yeah.
We'll have a marathon because Wingard and Barrett also did a segment in VHS too. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so that I'm wondering if, you know, it seems like they're all friends and
cute.
Do projects together.
Wow, so fun. Mm-hmm. Simon Barrett, the
writer.
Screenplay. Writer, yes. was working as a private investigator when he wrote the script for this. And then he's also the Tiger Mask killer.
He is. He's the first one to die.
Oh, yeah.
Well, of the masked killers.
Yeah.
Ty West is the first one. No, he's not, because the opening scene, the neighbors, they're the first
of the family. Okay, so Ty West is the first of the family to die. Simon Barrett is the first of the killers to die, but they're not the first people to die.
Yeah, exactly.
The woman at the very beginning.
Keep up. Yeah. Yeah, the neighbor. She's the first person to die. Yes.
Was it the neighbor and the girl at the beginning of the movie and the guy? Okay. Was it two separate households at the beginning, or was that the same household?
That was the same household.
Okay. Because the man that I saw on the bed.
Yeah.
With the sex.
Yeah.
Was a different man than the man that came out of the shower.
To be clear, it wasn't. You might have thought that, but it is the same man.
Okay.
Just to clear things up for the listeners.
Yeah.
It's not a different man. I'm sorry you felt that way.
Yeah, I really did. Yeah. I was like, where the fuck did this guy come from?
Yeah. That wasn't even supposed to be the opening scene either.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, I'm going to talk about it. The opening scene originally in the script was an old man finding his dog decapitated before he's then killed. And the producers were like, can we rewrite that? And now Katie's happy because it was a woman who died instead of a dog. Yeah. Would you like to speak on that, Katie?
I mean, the man died too, so.
He was going to die either way.
The dog lived, the man died, the woman died. That's two versus one.
Two versus one. The man's a net zero because he was going to die either way. So.
I guess. Speaking of earlier versions of the script, Aaron was supposed to be an American.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that fact's interesting, but it's a fact.
Great.
So we'll add it to the list of facts. We're gonna say it.
Yeah. So there.
I'm so glad she wasn't. Who wants to be an American these days?
Well, not me.
In 2011, it was different.
Yeah, there was hope back then.
Yeah, literally.
I remember. I was just graduating.
That's what all the posters said.
I thought I was going to finish college. What a joke.
Did you know there was supposed to be a sequel for this movie?
Yeah, I remember hearing that there were talks of it.
In early interviews about the movie, they said, oh yeah, pay attention to the end because we're dropping teasers for the sequel. And it's been 15 years and there's still no sequel. But they did an interview pretty recently, like this year, I think. This year or early last year. That said, we're so glad we didn't make that sequel because it would have been terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's just sometimes the universe works in your favor. They say no.
Yeah.
Leave it be.
Yeah. Should we tell them about it?
Oh, sure. I don't know what it was supposed to be.
Oh, I know all about it.
Oh, great. I'd love to hear about it.
The director and the screenwriter did an interview and basically spilled the beans on what the entire sequel was supposed to be. So I'll walk you through it. So originally, the Lamb Mask killer got decapitated in the script also. They wanted to do some decapitations, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
He was decapitated with his hand pinned to his head.
Mm.
I don't know how this works, but supposedly he was going to live through that in the sequel. He would have lived through that, but his frontal cortex would have been damaged by being stabbed with a nail in the forehead. So he wouldn't have been able to feel pain anymore. So now he'd be like crazier and he'd be like out for revenge for his brother. Because remember, that's the one with the brother was also there and the brother died. And the guy's like, oh, I didn't realize that was your real brother or whatever. So he was the killer. But the concept was that Erin would be arrested. And because she was Australian, she immediately went to jail. Americans hate Australians in this universe. So they're like, she's guilty and sent her to jail. And she's chained to a bunch of prisoners because she's like, she killed a ton of people. So she's like high security risk. She's chained to a bunch of other prisoners. The bus that she's on transferring her to the prison gets attacked. And she's chained to all these other prisoners, and they take refuge in a meth lab near where the accident happens, naturally.
Yeah.
And there's booby traps in a meth lab, also naturally. So that was how everybody was going to start dying. At that point of them telling the story of the sequel, they're like, and it's, my point is that it's really good that we didn't make this movie.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of with them with the like, oh, we can't feel pain anymore. That's very Michael Myers of them,
you know?
But he
was decapitated. Because Kappa was detached from his body.
I don't know, man. He survives that.
But the nail in his head makes him go all crazy.
See, that's what I'm confused about is like, was his, like, did they nail his head back to his body through his hand?
Oh, that's so stupid.
I don't know. Also, where does he come in with the meth lab?
Yeah, the rest of the plot had nothing to do with him not being able to feel pain.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, thank God that didn't work out.
Yeah, seriously.
What about your next franchise hater?
They did say, and now we can't do that idea. What did they say? They said something specific about going forward. You never know. Our careers could take a nosedive, and one of these days we might go, hey, we're ready to do your next two. But it'll definitely be a different movie than the one I just described.
Thank God. Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing more of Erin. I think she's like a very underrated final girl. I think if you put all the final girls in a matchup, she might come out on top. She's kind of a badass.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was either not enough exposition or too much exposition about her and like her past.
Well, it has to be one of the two.
Yeah, I don't know which one it was. I think they needed to say less or a lot more.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure. I felt like it was fine, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just didn't like the, like, you know... Oh, yeah, by the way, I grew up on a compound.
I felt like it was almost realistic to the situation. Because it might not have come up. Like, I don't think they've been together a super long time. So maybe she hasn't, like, gotten into that.
Yeah.
And then during the situation, like, the event, you're just going to be like, yeah, this is why. Like, we got to focus on other things. I can't really get into it. You know? Sure. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to sit there and be like, well, back when I was a kid. Go through a whole backstory. One thing, like, one of the themes that they wanted to do, obviously, shown best through Crispin. And
what a dumb name.
I know. One of my favorite Letterboxd reviews is, I would also try to kill my parents if they named me Crispin. That was pretty funny. But yeah, him and then Felix and Z, all the bad guys. But anyways, the theme was people turning out to be different than what you thought that they were, right? And even Erin herself, like, she's very sweet and, you know, kind of this innocent person. And then all of a sudden, when she needs to, she just turns it on because she has that background. But they even wanted to do that with the masks that they chose for the killers. So... like, the tiger immediately out of the three kind of seems like the most badass. He dies first. The lamb, who seems, you know, we have this idea that lambs are a little bit more meek and mellow. Mm-hmm. He turns out to be the most vicious. So they wanted to kind of subvert expectations that way as well.
Interesting. Did you hear about how they came up with the masks?
Yes.
Oh. Tell them about it.
No. No, I'm kidding. Barrett said that picking the masks, initially he didn't put much thought into it, but then they kind of decided they needed to pick things. Well, A, he wanted pagan-looking animals from, like, folklore, like, kind of familiar in that sense, but they also wanted them to look kind of boring. Just masks that anybody could find and pick up, because that's what they did, right? They didn't want these intricate masks that they had to create. They wanted them to just be kind of blank slate, pick them up at a Halloween store and be done with it type of masks.
Yeah. Just like in Scream.
Yeah, very just run of the mill. That's a costume you could just put on.
Yeah. They mentioned that some of the inspiration was from Scream, that it needed to feel logical that the killers could acquire these masks and would acquire them, because to your point, they're not going to go out and like look for something really intricate.
Yeah.
And speaking of Scream, they actually took a lot of inspiration from the Drew Barrymore scene as inspiration for the whole movie, according to Adam Wingard.
Okay, yeah.
The home invasion piece.
Right. Just an extended opening screen scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know one of the producers also said that they took a lot of inspiration from movies like Die Hard and Home Alone, where it's much more about what the protagonist does to turn the tables on the situation rather than what the villains are doing, which I think worked. That's what they did, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see this lovingly called horror Home Alone.
Yeah.
All the booby trapping and stuff.
Yeah, her setting up. I feel like the worst deaths she caused.
Oh, absolutely.
Makes you want a smoothie.
I did have a smoothie today, and I thought about that.
Did you think about it while you were blending it the whole time?
I didn't have to blend the smoothie. I just got it, like, blended.
Got it, okay.
I didn't even have to, like, listen to it being blended. It was, like, already blended.
Good. Yeah, that would have been traumatic.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this kind of looks like that guy's head.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Shawnee Vincent actually said that that was her favorite scene to shoot. Not specifically her killing someone with a blender, but that whole kitchen fight sequence. She said that was really fun because it was kind of a cramped space and she got to work with a stunt man or the stunt coordinator. And I guess she had like thought about doing stunts or did a few stunts previously. So like that was exciting for her. And she got to work with Wendy Glenn, who plays Z, who they're like really good friends in real life. They were roommates at one point too. So she said that was the best scene that she got to shoot. And someone asked her what the worst scene was. And she said, I don't know. It was just really fun. I don't think I have one.
Yeah.
So that's cute.
That is cute.
Yeah.
She also said that her favorite weapon on set was a fire poker. And she was constantly running around spinning the fire poker and like pretending to kill people with it. And they didn't even let her get a kill with it.
Oh.
I know.
It's sad. I didn't know she wanted to kill someone so bad with it.
She really did.
She also got injured on set.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was during the dinner table scene. I think when everything kind of goes to shit and they're all hiding. And at one point she like throws the tablecloth off and dives under the table.
Yeah.
But when she dove under, she accidentally basically face planted into Amy Simons, who plays Amy. But she like face planted into her heel. So she got a 6-inch stiletto to her face. Ow. And so she had a black eye. And Amy's like, I'm going to get fired. I just bruised like the main actress. But it was obviously they're all friends. So it wasn't a big deal. But yeah, they had to cover that up for the rest of the shoot.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. She seemed to take it in stride.
Yeah, I guess so. Stride. Because it's a foot. Because it's a shoe.
Got it. I was like not making the connection at first, but I got there.
It was a stretch.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Amy, the whole film was shot in 26 days. They filmed nights, 6 days a week. They slept from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., filmed the rest of the time. And Amy and her character, Amy, were only there for 3 days.
Yeah.
She's in and out pretty quick.
I mean, yeah, she just has to watch her boyfriend die and then die herself.
Easy.
One, two, punch. Oh, yeah.
In a film.
Thank you for clarifying. Mm-hmm. I love that too. That death. Just run full speed outside.
Which was the brother's idea to run outside.
It was Felix's suggestion, yes. So little early on hint that he had something to do with it.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I knew from the beginning that the call was coming from inside the house. I knew that something was up with that family. I couldn't pinpoint who.
Yeah.
And I was a little frustrated with how early they gave it away. It was like,
okay,
it was pretty early. I mean, it was maybe like the halfway mark, maybe a little past the halfway mark that we figured out it was the one brother.
Yeah. Like,
they sort of made up for it with the end because we didn't know it was the other brother. But anyway, I thought, how fun would it be to have just like a 10-minute prequel where the mom was in on it the whole time? Because she was pretty sus. The mom was pretty sus at the beginning. I was like, okay, she's fake crying. Like, she's just setting them up to like, maybe it was like a whole family thing. I had sort of like the, what's that other movie? The hide and seek movie?
Ready or Not.
Ready or Not. I had that, those vibes.
Yeah,
very much. I even mentioned Ready or Not in the last episode. So it's like, oh, maybe it's like the whole family against her or something. But anyway, the mom was sus. I still think that maybe she could have been in on it. Like maybe she had like cancer and she knew she was going to die and found out her husband was cheating on her. There's a lot of pieces that have to fit together. And yeah. So she decided to sacrifice herself. And that's why we don't see her death on camera, because they were actually pretty like, okay, we're going to kill you like gently. They were like, you know, merciful with her or whatever. And that's why the son was up there laying with her, because he felt really guilty about it.
Got it.
Anyway, I just think that'd be a fun little like 10-minute prequel, you know, where you find out yeah. the mom was in on it the whole time.
We're at a fanfic.
Yeah.
Go for maybe it.
More. Okay.
I'll read it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do think it was, I don't know, I can't remember my thoughts the first time I saw this, so I don't know if I was suspecting the actual people or not.
Sure.
But I do remember that Crispin was suspect to me. Like, he was the one that I suspected the most, only because the number one rule in horror is if you don't see them die, they're not dead. So
yeah.
when he just left and we never heard back from him, I was like, okay, yeah. something's going on there.
Which is what I thought about the mom.
Okay. But then we do see her body dead. So for like an extended scene where she's trying to get him to have sexual relations on his dead mom.
But we didn't see her die. I'm just saying. It's rule number one. You got to see him die.
Or see them dead. But like dead, dead.
Yeah.
Not just a quick flash of the body and then you're gone, you know?
Yeah. One thing I wasn't clear on, maybe you can help clear it up. The whole like he's been watching us for days scene with like the pee and the why?
Oh, yeah. I'm assuming just to like scout out the place.
But it's their place.
Well, I'm assuming it was the other, like the actual hitman. So that they would know all the ins and outs and have access to the house.
I guess. I don't know.
Because it was them that was supposed to carry out all of the murders.
Yeah, I guess.
So I'm assuming that Felix and Z just gave them access to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing about the killers that Barrett had said in an interview, which I thought was interesting because I didn't even catch it. And he kind of talked about who he was very surprised that no one talked about it after the movie. But they said that they focused on not really saying how the family got like super well or like how much money they have.
Mm-hmm.
But they did say that the father made his money through working for a defense contractor.
Yeah.
So like that's how the family's rich. And then also the hitmen were veterans. So like that was supposed to be a connection of like why they're willing to help out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I didn't really like that. I didn't pay too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't give that any attention whatsoever in my brain.
Sure,
so.
sure.
Reading that after, I was like, oh, wait, that does. Okay. That makes a little bit of sense. I like that connection. So
yeah, that is a fun connection.
Yeah.
Not going to hold you. I don't have any more fun facts.
Oh.
I will say one more thing, though.
Okay.
Have you seen the trailer for this movie?
Probably in 2013.
It sucked.
Did it?
Yeah, I would not have seen this movie. It was so fucking cheesy. It was like, it was literally like a Home Alone commercial. It was like,
oh,
what happens when your family, and like, it was just like, maybe it's just a product of its time. I don't know, yeah. But it was a really stupid trailer. And it had like a really dumb song playing at the beginning. I don't think it was the song, the like groovy song in the movie or whatever the subtitles called it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was just like a weird. Tell us in the comments what you think about the trailer compared to the movie, because the trailer was not good.
I'm going to have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I will say, I think at the beginning of the movie, like the acting is a little cheesy, But it's also a bunch of directors acting. So
yeah, I feel like friends.
Yeah, sometimes, especially with like low budgets, where it's really just you're hiring a bunch of people you already know because that's what you can afford to do.
Mm-hmm.
I give it some allowances for a little bad acting here and there, you know.
Yeah, and it wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't like egregious or anything.
No.
It was just every once in a while I'd be like, all right.
It was passable.
Yeah. But yeah, they said they liked that a lot of them were already friends because obviously that helped with the whole family dynamic. Yeah. Made it a lot easier for them to feel like they all had history since they pretty much all did.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helped that I think the only person Sharni Vinson knew was Wendy Glenn. So then it felt even more like everybody was friends and she wasn't a part of that. So it helped with her kind of being that outsider of the group.
Cute. Yeah, she did tell a story about, because they were roommates at the time that they both auditioned. And Sharni came home from the interview or the audition and was like, I fucked that up. It was so bad. I did terrible. And then they both ended up getting the job.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, I can't remember if it was Adam Wingard or Simon Barrett, but one of them was talking about the auditions for the part of Aaron and how they said like 90% of the people coming into audition were wearing like short shorts and cut off jeans and crop tops and stuff like that. And like really going for that 2000s final girl type of look.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's not what we're going for here at all.
Oof.
So they said Sharni Vinson immediately stuck out because she just came in wearing a normal jeans and a t-shirt type of look. So
cute. I feel like that's generally, I mean, unless the casting call specifically outlines an outfit, I feel like jeans and a t-shirt's a safe bet.
Yeah. I know sometimes people will dress of like what the part feels like.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I've heard of people going in for auditions and they'll be told, hey, can you come back wearing this? Can you come back, like, with your hair in a certain way? So I feel like it's not as uncommon, but yeah, you'd think that plain jeans and a plain top would be standard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not an actor. Casting agents, please let us know what you think people should wear to an audition.
And then also get us auditions for things.
Yeah, I would love one.
Yeah, Cassidy can go first. And then if you have any more, then I will also take one. Thank you.
Wow, that's very sweet of you. Thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. If you have a part in a movie of bitch, I'm perfect for that role. I'll tell you what. Sarcastic. I'm your girl.
Yeah. And I'm just having a good time.
And she's here too. last thing that I have for fun facts is just about the house that they used to film in. It was an actual house. Originally, their idea was to go for something like really minimalist, like gray walls and just kind of a boring blank space.
Mm-hmm.
But then they changed their minds. They said, no, we want it to feel like a home and like kind of that old money type of home. Yeah. So they searched for houses like that instead. They ended up finding an antique home that had been empty for 12 years. The owners had been trying to sell it, but they hadn't been keeping up with it at all. So they basically came to them and offered a deal of like, hey, we'll clean it up. We'll kind of like renovate it a bit if you let us film in here. And they did. So that was kind of the trade-off for getting to film in it. So they had to clean up like a bunch of broken glass. They had to fix some windows. And then they had to just be careful when they were shooting the arrows and stuff to make sure that there were pads so that it didn't actually puncture the walls. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Cute.
And And then apparently it was on a golf course, like right behind a golf course and like two houses right next door on both sides. Oops. So they had to be so careful about how they shot the house because they said even if we moved like a centimeter over, it would have given away the whole illusion. So,
yeah, they did a really good job of the like lost in the woods kind of vibe.
Yeah, it definitely felt remote.
Mm-hmm. Which was the point.
Twas.
Very good. Good job, guys.
Hey, guys. Great job.
Adam and Simon.
Simon.
Sorry, Simon.
Great job. Great work, team.
Yeah, good job. Yeah. Way to go. High fives all around.
High fives all around.
Well, should we rate it?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. How scary did you think it was?
Surprisingly, I only gave it a 1.
Oh, okay.
I know. You thought that the... I don't know why this movie doesn't scare me as much as, like, The Strangers did. Like, The Strangers ruined my life when I was 16. But this was a fun time. So, I don't know. I gave it a 1, just half a point, because I really don't want my home invaded. But this doesn't seem like a situation I'd be in, to be honest.
Yeah.
My parents are not wealthy. And I'm one of 2 children. And I really don't think she would contract a hitman for me.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Thank you.
Or help the hitman.
No. I don't think a hitman would be involved in our lives, period. What about you?
Yeah, the home invasion doesn't scare me, but I will admit that I did lock the door to my garage for the first time ever the night I watched this movie. So it has to count for something.
It'll get in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. I was in the, transparently, I was in the garage smoking, as one does in the garage. And as I came inside and turned off the light, I like thought I saw somebody sitting in my car in like the corner of my eye. So I just closed the door real fast, locked it, turned off the light, and went upstairs. Didn't look back. Didn't make sure there wasn't anybody in my car. Just like, no, I'm not dealing with this tonight.
So the anyway, guy that lives in your car was counting his blessings last night.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, I ended up giving it a 2.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Someone in your house who's not supposed to be there is scary.
It's not ideal, but it's not like the worst thing ever. Supernatural is far scarier to me.
No, because that can't happen, Katie. Someone exactly. Can come into my house. That's scary.
Yeah, whatever.
How sexy did you think it was?
I mean, it's a Final Girl movie. That's sexy. That's what I'm looking for in sex appeal of horror movies. It did have a lot of off-putting gore, however. But I mean, it also had some fun sexy gore. It was just like a lot. I split it right down the middle at a 2.5.
Did you enjoy it? I did too.
Wow.
Yeah. Because kind of same thing. Slasher vibes. Aaron's a great final girl.
Final girl. Okay, fucking despicable me over here.
She's a great final goyle.
Gru.
Yeah, I'm Gru. Yeah, mainly just for her vibes, to be honest.
Totes.
Yeah, yeah.
How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1.5 because there were, like, the blender scene and then the Garrett scene where that was, like, a bit much.
Yeah, I mean, it had some pretty gnarly kills.
Yeah, for sure.
It kept me on my toes.
Yeah.
But I don't know that anything other than the blender was, like, new or different. The blender scene, I haven't seen that anywhere else.
No.
Like, break off the top of a blender and use the blades to kill somebody through their head, the top of their head.
That's pretty cool.
There was also a lot of top of the head kills. And I don't know if you've ever seen a baby, but what?
Well, finish your sentence. Where is this going?
But they don't have their skull is not together.
Yeah.
So, and you can see their little heartbeat in their brain when they're babies. And that's the only thing I think of when I think of top of the head kill. Like, that's disgusting. Have you ever seen a baby?
Yeah, I've seen a baby. All right. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you.
That's okay. But anyway, I gave it a 2.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the top of the head kills, I don't like that at all.
Because
that's one of the things when you're a new mom and you're like, what if something goes in my baby's brain through the top of their head? That's one of the things that is like a thought that you think.
My mom, her mantra when we were children was watch your head. And my aunt, her sister, made fun of her for it all the time. Oh, watch your head. That's all, you know, Jackie can say is watch your head. Do you know how many head injuries me and my sister had? 0. Do you know how many her son had? 9.5. Every day that kid was hitting his head on something. So my mom got the last laugh, clearly.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, your skull does close at like 2 years old or something.
Yeah, but it's still, you should watch your head as a general note. And your children's heads. Tell your children to watch their heads.
Mm-hmm. I'll go tell mine right now.
Keep this safe. The noggin.
That's what I say. Watch your nog.
Yeah. The nog is important.
You're just like constantly covering corners. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Why are you going directly for the fucking corner?
They can't see it. It's up here.
They're too small.
Yeah. All right. Overall, what did you think of You Are Next?
This was fun. A really great final girl with a fun little twist at the end with her getting shot. That was the twist. Not the brother thing. That was like whatever.
Yeah.
I personally think she would have lived and been able to plead self-defense, contrary to what the directors think. So that's good for her. I love that for her. The acting was fine, like whatever. The pace was great. I don't generally have a real comment on the pace of a movie unless it's like a real slog. But this one was like super great. It was a perfect pace, perfect length. It wasn't too long at all. I do think that the sort of like calls coming from inside the house trope is a little overdone. And I guessed that really early on. But they sort of solved that introducing the brother as an accomplice. I didn't see that one coming. So that was kind of fun. Anyway, not a lot of complaints here. So I gave it a 4.
Let's go.
Yeah, this is a good one. A fun one.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those movies that for people who are getting into horror or don't know a lot of horror movies, I always recommend it if they like slashers. Mm-hmm. Because it's one that a lot of people haven't heard of. And it's great. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I also gave it a 4. So we're very in sync today.
Cute.
I'm loving that. But yeah, I think this movie's great. It's definitely... I don't know. I just really love low-budget movies where a bunch of friends come together to make a movie. I love that vibe. And I think that it was done really well. Some of it, yeah, kind of gives that vibe. I think the handheld cam, I know they were doing it for tension, but sometimes it was like a little hold it steady, you know? Some of the acting a little bit cheesy. But overall, I think it was really well done. I think it was a fun concept. The kills were really interesting and new. And yeah, Erin is... top 5 final girls of all time, I think. In terms of skill, nobody's touching that bitch.
Yeah, definitely in terms of skill.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I do think that she would have gotten away with it. Because, hello, the only person who just witnessed her murder someone just got killed by a booby trap. So I think she's good. And she tried to save. She can be like, hey, whoa, you know? You didn't see nothing.
Well, I mean, the only thing going against her is that she does have the police officer's bullet in her shoulder.
That's true.
Only thing. Like, but why would the police officer shoot her unless she was
shooting? She could claim that he was aiming at Crispin and she was able to take Crispin down. You know, she accidentally moved in front. That's what that'd be what I would say.
Yeah, it's true. True. Yeah. And I don't think, I mean, again, this is going against the directors. I don't think Americans hate Australians. I think we like Australians fine.
Did they actually say that in the interview?
They said, well, I deleted it. Hold on.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just making a joke about that.
No.
That's what they said.
They said, due to her jarring Australian accent, a jury would railroad her. Wait, let me start off.
Not true.
Due to her jarring Australian accent, a jury would railroad. I can't say railroad.
Yeah, we're getting there, though.
She'd be instantly sent to prison by the corrupt American judicial system.
I want to be very clear. The corrupt American judicial system does not punish white Australians harsher at all.
No, no way.
They're actually more likely to get off, so I think she'd be just fine.
Yeah. I think so, too. Especially being, like, a woman. She does have that going for her. That's like
and Americans love foreign accents as long as they're, you know, the white ones.
Yeah.
Americans love that shit.
They do.
Yeah. I think she'd be fine.
Yeah, I don't discriminate against accents. I like them all.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
All right. Would you survive?
I mean, if I grew up on a compound, I feel like I can apply the skills that I have practically in my life. So okay. If I were to have grown up on a compound, I would have acquired the skills that she uses, and I would have been able to apply them practically in that situation. So I think I live.
Okay. I mean, if we're saying we have her background, then yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a given, though. We're saying, well, like, you right now, if you're in this situation.
Oh.
Would you survive?
No.
You as you, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Without the background of having been trained.
Raised in a combat compound.
Yeah, whatever kind of, yeah, weird. Yeah. Yeah, no, I get, no.
Okay.
I was only, I put myself in the entire situation.
Oh, okay.
Like, my personality, my vibes.
Got it.
In the entire situation, and the entire situation includes she had
you
the skills.
You have in the background. Yeah. So I think if we did that, though, we could say that we live in any movie that anybody lives in. Because we have their skills. You know what I mean?
Well, no. Because it's not always skill that makes them... It was definitely her skill that got her through.
Yeah.
It's not always that. Sometimes they don't have any skill and they still make it out. You know?
So that's where you'd say, no, because I don't have their skills?
Well, no, well, it would still depend. Anything? It would still depend.
Okay.
Like in, I keep bringing up Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's the only movie I remember right now.
Great.
The final girl in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, she didn't have any special skills. She wasn't doing anything interesting to get away. She just sort of got away. I would not have fought as hard as her, personally. So I would have died.
But maybe you have her skill of fighting hard.
That's not a skill. That's like a trait.
But, you know, the... How far is it if it's what's cheating? Giving ourselves skills that we don't have? I think we're saying, like, would we as us survive?
Yeah. Like, right now, current state, I go over to my, like, in-laws' house or whatever.
Yeah.
And people start shooting.
Start shooting.
I don't live.
Okay.
Well, but also, okay, wait. I'm not supposed to die in this movie. I'm not supposed to die. And I wouldn't have gone around. He said, if you hadn't gone around starting to kill people, you would have lived.
So that is only if you believe Crispin.
I do.
You do.
He has a kind.
Because they tried to shoot her multiple times. So they weren't listening if that was the case. I don't think he was telling the truth. I think he was lying to try to save his own ass in that moment.
That's really annoying.
I'm sorry that you believed him. That was crazy work.
He has a kind face. What can I say?
He doesn't.
He does. He absolutely fucking does have a kind face.
Okay. I don't know. It's up to you. Personally, I'm saying I don't live because A, I don't have her background, and B, I do not believe Crispin. They try to kill her multiple times throughout the thing before she starts killing them. So I think he was lying to save his own ass. I think she was supposed to die. I think Z was there to be the witness. And I think I would have died.
Okay. Well, I probably would have died too.
It's your life. You can say whatever you want.
I'm not allowed to believe Crispin now, so...
You can believe Crispin all you want. Do I think the evidence points otherwise? Yes. But it's up to you.
I die.
Okay.
Jot that one down. I'm dead. We're both dead.
We're both dead.
It would have been a really good opportunity for me to try to get ahead, though.
I feel like I took it from you a little bit, and I feel bad now.
You should, but that's okay.
Oh, now I feel less bad.
Somebody told me today, I don't remember what the conversation was, but I was like, not to brag. And they were like, no, it was really good. And I was like, yeah, I was bragging.
He's like, no, yeah, I was bragging.
I absolutely was, right?
Love it. All right. Would you like to predict next week's movie?
Yes.
Okay. We are going to see a new movie
Corn in a clown field. Clown in a cornfield.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, it's out in theaters now.
As of last Friday.
Yes, the 9th.
Of May, 2025.
Thank you so much. Yes. All right. Tell me what Clown in a Cornfield is about. I don't know if you're right. So we'll. This is fun.
Yeah. And I haven't seen the trailer. Have you seen the trailer?
No, I haven't. I have seen the author because it's based on a book. I've seen him on the TikTok promoting it.
Okay.
But limited knowledge.
Okay. I think it's pretty basic. I think it literally gives the plot away in the title. There's a clown in a cornfield chasing people around. It's probably a bunch of college kids out partying, and they go past a farm, and the farmer yells after them, "Don't you go playing in them their cornfields." And they're probably like post-gaming the local fair because they got bored at the fair. So they're like, "Oh yeah, let's go drink in the cornfields."
Yeah.
And while they were at the fair, they probably made fun of a clown, and that was the wrong clown to make fun of. And then they don't listen to the farmer. And so they go to the cornfields, and the clown they made fun of starts slowly picking them off from the shadows one by one.
Yeah.
And they try to escape, but it's a cornfield and you can't see your way out of those. That's why they make mazes out of them.
Mm.
And then they all just die. And then the clown goes back to the fair and just continues playing with kids like a real clown, not a killer clown.
Got it. Okay.
Basic.
Yeah, I feel like that would be my guess too. I know we read the summary when we did new movies coming out in May.
Oh,
from that, all I remember is someone's moving into the town and the town is in financial ruin because the factory just got shut down or something.
The corn factory? That's all factory? I remember.
No, I think it was like a syrup factory.
Syrup?
Yeah, which doesn't make sense because it's corn field. Anyways.
Corn syrup? Corn syrup's a thing.
Corn syrup. Yeah, oh my God, Katie, it's a corn syrup factory. Probably. Anyways, I don't know what that has to do with the clown. But then I think the clown starts killing people. And I think from there on, it's probably, I think you're right. I think it's just kind of a run-of-the-mill slasher.
Yeah.
About a clown.
But it's got good early reviews.
It does.
I know that much.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. But obviously, we take that with a grain of salt because the people who want to have seen it early have seen it.
Yeah.
They're going to be rating it higher.
Yeah. At this point in time, the reviews are from people who sought out that movie. So they're going to be a little bit biased, I think. But who's to say?
Should we take bets on what the audience and critics score will be by the time we record the episode?
Oh, absolutely we should.
Okay, I'm going to write mine down. I'll send you a message.
Okay.
With them.
Okay, well, should we say them on here?
Yeah. But I'm going to write it down and send it to you so I can't change my answer and be influenced by what you say.
I'm going to say...
So, critics...
By the time we review it...
Is Tuesday, so it'll have Friday,
we're
Saturday,
filming,
Sunday, Monday.
So it's opening weekend.
Opening weekend
the
only.
Reviews come in. Okay. I have mine.
Okay,
do you want me to send them to you, or do you want me to just...
I mean, I'm sending them in a message to you just for posterity, you know? You know, but I'm not done yet. I've got a theme.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Okay, I said that critics would... Oh, we were pretty close.
We were pretty close.
I said critics would give it a 59 and audience would give it a 69. Nice.
Okay, I said critics would give it a 52 and audiences would give it a 59.
Okay.
So I do think audiences are going to like it better.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, this is fun.
Yeah, because critics don't like to have fun.
Critics hate fun. If there's one thing... Fun hates to see coming, it's a critic.
Yeah. Well, cool. That'll be a fun little experiment for us on Tuesday. I can't wait to be watching
completely
that
wrong.
All weekend and or that too.
We get back, we're like, it's a 99% critic score, 24% audience score.
Oh my God. I mean, it's like a 98 right now, audience or critic score.
Critics.
Which is, or like a 93 or something, I don't remember.
Maybe we undershot, but you know what? I like going into a movie with low expectations.
Yeah.
Because then, there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed your next fun little slasher.
Yeah, so fun. Highly recommend.
Definitely. I'm excited to see Clown in a Cornfield.
Me too. I forget what we asked you guys to do in the comments, but do that, please.
That's what I was just trying to remember. I was like, I know we said something.
The trailer. Go watch the trailer for Your Next and tell me if it was crazy.
I'm actually going to do that. I'm going to watch it after this. And then yeah, I'll,
we can
I'll
watch it together.
You. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Please like and subscribe. Follow for more content.
Yeah.
It's going to be here whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you next week for our May movie, Clown in the Cornfield.
Hooray. See you then.
Bye.
Bye.